Today's daf is Erev and Daf Chaf, and we are 9 lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Tes Amid Beis Boyaminei Abaya Mirava. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refua Shalema for Shlomo Ben Zara Aliza and Avadia Ben Miriam Leah. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas Yitzchak Ben Shmuel Elimelech and Avram Ben Yibadol Chaim Toivim Reb Moshe Chaim. So we're continuing to discuss the laws of Pasei Birois, specifically different Ibayas that Abaya asked from his Rebbe Rabba. So the Gemara on Daf Yud Tes Amid Beis, up until we're up to, brought 3 Shilas that Abaya asked Rabba, all with regards to basic understanding of Pasei Birois. The first question was, there's a halacha that there's not allowed to be too much space between the Pasei. How much space can there not be? According to Rav Meir, more than 10 amas. According to Rav Yehuda, a special kula, you could have up to 13 and a third amas, but you can't have more. So what do you do, according to Rav Meir, if you want to situate an area that's going to be more than 10 amas wide? So the Mishnah said you would have to add boards. And Abai asked Rabbi a question, what if instead of adding boards, you decided to make the actual pasen, the 4 diyomdim, a little bit wider? Is that also going to be okay? Or is that not going to be okay? The second question Abai asked Rabbi, what about according to Rav Yehuda? What about according to Rav Yehuda, where the gap is allowed to be more than 10 amas wide, it could be even 13 and a third amas, assuming the gap is wider, you would have to add boards. What if instead of adding boards, you chose to just make the 4 boards a little bit wider so that you narrow the gap so you don't have the 13 and a third amas? Would that be okay or would that not be okay? The third question Abaye asked Rabba is, if you have a tail, you have a mound of dirt that is not considered a reshus unto itself. His question was, can you use that mound as diyomdim or not? What would be the reason? Yeah. The end of the day, if it's 10 tefachim tall, you should be able to use it. What would be the reason not? It's not L-shaped. It's not the 90-degree angle. It's not the diyomdim. It's not the dayoy. It's not the double. So the question is, can you say royin, act as if, carve out an L-shaped pass, and as a result, it would be okay? Or at the end of the day, if it's not physically in the proper shape, it's going to be a problem. Either way, those were the 3 shilas that we saw at the end of Daf Yud Tes Amid Beis. The Gemara is going to now pick up with an additional 3 questions that Abaya asked Rava in terms of understanding the laws of Pasei Birois. What if you have a bunch of konim that are not attached to each other, but they're awfully close to each other? How close? They're within 3 tefachim of each other, the significance of which is you have lavud. So even though they're not physically next to each other, they're as if they're next to each other. Assuming they're L-shaped, 90-degree angle, can you use it mishum diyomid or can you not? What would be the tzad not? Maybe a diyomid has to have a physical mitzius where they're 100% attached. But to the extent that you have to come on to lavud, even though lavud works in kala tayrakula, even though lavud is halacha l'moshe misinai, but the Abaya suggested that maybe the special chiddush of diyomdim requires real pasin, and if you have to come on to lavud, maybe it's not going to be okay. Amalei, he told him to nisu, it's a brais. If someone had either a tree or a fence or a chitzas akonim, nida mishum diyomid, my lavud, assuming, said Rabba, this chitas akonim is not a situation where the konim are physically attached to each other. Apparently that wasn't so common. Rather, they're close to each other, albeit within 3 tefachim. So you see clearly, hayasham ilon, oy goder, oy chitas akonim, assuming it's pachas machas mishloisha, and you see it works, so it's a mafurisha braisa. But Abaya told Rabba, I don't know if it's muchach, because maybe gudrisa de koni, maybe the chitas akonim over there is not really a chitas akonim, where you have individual reeds that are standing next to each other, but maybe this chitas akonim was attached on the bottom by a trunk. Maybe it was attached by one solid piece. As a result, it's really one shtickel. If it's one thing, so it doesn't have to come on to love it. If it doesn't have to come on to love it, that's not my shaila, Abaya told Rabba. So he told him back, Rabba, did he hachi, I know Elon. And if that's the case, isn't that Elon? The Bryce has said, hoyesham Elon, oygeder echitas akonim. What's an Elon? An Elon has a trunk on the bottom, and then it branches out. Your gudrisa de koni would seem to be Elon. So why would we have to mention gudrisa de koni and then Elon? Isn't it the same thing? So Abaya said back, the elamai, kona kona pachas mishloisha. So you're going to tell me it's kona kona pachas mishloisha? I know geder. That's geder. Elamai yislach lemei, but trey gavni geder. Hachanami trey gavni Elon. Point is, it's not muchach anything from that halacha, because it could be the chitzas hakonim over there is not individual konim that are within three tefachim from each other, but maybe these are a chitzas hakonim that are attached at the bottom. It's a good reason of the konim. Ikadarmi, some had a different version of this exchange between Abaye and Rabbah. Good reason the Kani Kami Boyle. In fact, Abaye's question wasn't a Chisa Sakonim. His question was, what if you have a good reason the Kani? What's the halacha? Is it Nida Mishum Diyoimid or is it not? Amalei Tinisuas. He told him back, Hayasham Geder, you learn a Chisa Sakonim, Nida Mishum Diyoimid. My love, and in this version, Rabbah was being pushed from the same exact line, but in this case, assuming that the Chisa Sakonim is the good reset the Kani. That was the question, and that's what he's being pushed. But he told the back, maybe it means Kana Kana Pachas Mishlaisha. My question is good reset the Kani. You can't prove it from there. Ihachi Hainu Gather. So Rabbi said, then it's literally Gather. Fella, my good reset the Kani. Hainu Ilon. Elamai Yisach Lameimah. What do you have to say? Tre Gabni Ilon. Hachanami. See, he told him, Tre Gabni Gather. Either way, his point was that you can't be pushed anything from this halacha. So what was Abaye's fourth question? We actually have two versions, two neschois of what the question might have been. The first version, the question was, if you would have a bunch of individual konim that are next to each other, but they're not physically attached to each other, but they're within the shear of love, they're within the shear of three tefachim, do we look at them as if they're attached? It's L-shaped, it meets the technical criteria, the dimensions of Pasin, as a result, they will work for Pasin B'Rois, or maybe for Pasin B'Rois, they have to physically be attached. And if they're not physically attached, even though in Kala Torah Kula there's something called Lavud, maybe Pasin B'Rois is different and it's not going to work. The second version, the question was something else. The question was, where you have a Gudrisa Dekani, you have something solid on the bottom, and on top you have stalks that are protruding. It is attached. It's one thing. It doesn't have to come onto Lavud. Can you use that for Diyoimdim, or could you not use that for Diyoimdim? The obvious question that the Achrayim struggle with a little bit is that according to the second version of Abaye's question, what really is the question? What would be the tzad that it shouldn't work? The first Lishna of the Ibaya, they're not attached. You have to come on to love it. That's the question. Does love it work or does not love it not work? But according to the second version, you're not coming on to love it. It's attached on the bottom. It's a gudrisa dekani. So if that's the case, what would be the shaila? So Pasha, you have to say the shaila is because at the end of the day, it wasn't L-shaped. It wasn't shaped as the 90-degree angle. So solka daita chamina, maybe you don't say Ryan, which ties in a little bit to the previous question. But either way, that is the fourth Ibaya, number five. A geshmaki question. What happens if you have a chatzar where the chatzar opens up into a rishus harabim? However, there were pasei birois that encircled, that closed off that part of the rishus harabim. So essentially, the chatzar opens up into pasei birois. The area around the well, the area within the pasei birois has a din of rishus hayachid. So you have a chatzar that opens up into pasei birois. What's the question? You let it carry from your chatzar to the bein hapasim, or from the Beina Pasim, L'toicha. What's the tzad that you should be able to? Because you're carrying from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid. What's the tzad that you shouldn't be able to? Because Erevin 101. You're not allowed to carry from Reuven's Rishus HaYachid to Shimon's Rishus HaYachid. Or, you're not allowed to carry from Reuven's Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid that's owned by Reuven and Shimon. You can't carry from a chotzer or Rishus HaYachid that's owned by an individual to a chotzer hamishu tefes. That's the whole premise of a Reuven Chatzeros and of Shituvim Avayas. The Pasei B'Rois was a Rishus HaYachid that technically belonged to everybody. It's in the Rishus HaRabim. Everyone was allowed to use it. The chatzar belongs to the Bnei HaChatzar. So is this then included in the Isser? Carrying Mirshus HaYachid or Shus HaYachid? Or maybe not. Why would you say not? Because the Pasei B'Rois, as much as everybody can use it, but not everybody did use it. It wasn't a rishus in the sense that we share a common backyard and we're always there. So the Gemara had a shaila. Is this included in the halacha or not? Amalei, so Rabbi told Abaye mutter. He says it's okay. Shtayim, my. What if you have two chatzeros that open up into this one pasei birois? Maybe there it's going to be different. Why would it be different? Because being that the chatzeros opened directly into the pasei birois, so now the bnei hachatzar probably used it. So now it comes out that the pasei birois, that area is actually very similar to a chatzar mishutefes. So if you have two individual chatzeros that open up into the same area, so everyone in one chatzar can carry, everyone in the other chatzar can carry, but to carry from chatzar A to the pasei birois is maybe a problem because it's really sheared by the people of both Chatzeros. So he told him back, Amalei Aser, Amar Rafuna. Rafuna said, Shtayim Asurim. I agree, two are Aser, and here's the Chiddush. Vafilu Irvu. Even if the people of the two Chatzeros made an Eruv Chatzeros between each other. So over here, what should be the problem? If I can carry from my Chatzer to your Chatzer, from your Chatzer to my Chatzer, why shouldn't we both be able to carry into the Pasi Birois? You're allowed to carry from Chatzer into Pasi Birois. Meaning the fact that everyone's allowed to use the Pasi Birois doesn't bother me. You're telling me now that if two Chatzeros open directly into the Pasi Birois, maybe it's more chomer. Why? Because now already carrying from my chatzah the Pasi Birois is like carrying from one chatzah to the other chatzah. But what if they made an Erev? If they made an Erev, I'm allowed to carry from one chatzah to the other chatzah. And still Rav Huna said it's a problem. So what could possibly be the issue? Teretz says it's a gzerah. Gzerah, Shema Yoimru, Erev Moya Labena Pasim. Rav Huna was concerned that people may think that you're allowed to make an Erev in a situation where the way one chatzer opens up into the other chatzer is derech the Pasi Birois. The only time two chatzeres can make an Erev between themselves, if there's a way to get from one chatzer to the other chatzer. But if there's no Pesach, there's no Chaloyim, there's no way to get from chatzer A to chatzer B, you're not allowed to make an Erev between the two chatzeres. Now the truth is, Rashi points out, that's not entirely true. Because we know if two chatzeres open up into a mavoi, you can make a shetufim of vois that's going to now be ma'ar of all the chatzeres. So in theory, the passive irois could be viewed as a mavi. Rashi addresses the question. But the point is, let's just assume, for conversational purposes, for this daf right now, that in order to make an eruv between two chatzeres, you would need an opening between the two. Rav Huna was worried that if you're going to allow people to carry from eruv, from Chatzah to Pasib Yerois, and from Chatzah to Pasib Yerois, people are going to assume that, yeah, you made an Erev. But the way you were Ma'ariv the Chatzah Yerois was through the Pasib Yerois. Meaning the connection, the Pesach between the two Chatzah Yerois is the Pasib Yerois. And that doesn't work. So even if you have a real Pesach, still Rav Huna said, I think that's going to be a problem. Why? Gzeira Shema Yoimru Erev Mayol Lebeina Pas. Rav Amar, Rav said Irvu Mutar. Rav said that even if you made an Erev, it's going to be a problem. Meaning even though ordinarily if two Chatzah Yerois open up into Pasib Yerois, it would be a problem. But if they made an Erev between the two of them, it's not going to be a problem. Meaning Rav wasn't worried about this Gzeira. Amalei Abaye L'Rav. Sabaya told Rav, so this is not a machloikis between Abaye and Rava. This is a machloikis between Rav Huna and Rava. Again, if you have a chatzah that opens up into Pasi Birois, it's good. You're allowed to carry from the chatzah to the Pasi Birois. It's not included in the gzeira of carrying Mirishos Hayachid to Mirishos Hayachid. If you have two chatzeres that open up into Pasi Birois, it's a problem. What if you have two chatzeres that open up into a Pasi Birois, but you made an Erev between the two chatzeres? Rav Huna said it's a problem. Rav said it's mutter. Sabayu told Rav, I have a riot that it's mutter. That was Rabbi's original halacha. This was a biased question, and that was Rabbi's answer. Shtayim aser, like the Gemara said. But medvarim amurim. Here's the punchline: shaloi irvu, aval irvu mutarim, which is a raya. It's a tanya de misayeloch to who to Rava. Talk to Gemara. If it's a raya to Rava, it's a kashan Ravuna. Lemeti have you tiufta de Ravuna? Is this a tiufta de Ravuna? Is Ravuna's halacha literally checkmated from a mafurish abraisa? Amalchar Ravuna. Ravuna could say no. Hasam the hadram the irvan. It could be there. The case is where there was a major gap, a major Tirtza between the two chatzeres. If you have a picture, you can see it very clearly. So if there was a major gap, a major pirtza between the two chatzeres, so over there there's no gzeira. What was the gzeira? Shema yoimru erev moy lebein apasim. That maybe the way you were ma'arev the two chatzeres was through the pasi birois. People say, what are you talking about? There's a massive breach between the two chatzeres. So people know how you are ma'ariv it. If the Pesach between the two chatzeres is a small Pesach, people may not notice it. They're going to see that people from this chatzer are carrying, people from that chatzer are carrying. Had you do this, you must have made an Erev. What's the commonality to make this Erev? Oh, the Pasi Birois, that Rav Huna was worried about. But if there's a major breach, so even though at first glance it would seem to be a riot to Rava, but at the same time, Tiufta de Rav Huna, a Fazoi Vait, that's not something you can say. Either way, that was the fifth Iboya that Abaye asked Rava. What was the question? You have a chatzah that opens up into Pasi Birois. Is it included in the Isser of carrying Mishos Hayachid or Shos Hayachid? Is it not? Question number six. The only time Pasi Birois works is if there's water in the well. If the well dries up, there's no Pasi Birois. We'll see more about that in the coming dafin. But the basic halach of Pasi Birois is if there's water in the well. What happens if the well dried on Shabbos? Do you still have the mechitza or do you not have the mechitza? What would be the tzad that you should not have the mechitza? The whole Metzius of the Mechitzos of Pasabi Rois is predicated on the early regalim. It's predicated on the Mayim. There's no Mayim anymore. What's the tzad that it should be okay? Based on the Gemara that we saw in Daf Yud Zayin. Shabbos Hoyo V'Hutro Hutro. Because it's halacha that if something's a good Eruv, it's a good deer in the beginning of Shabbos, it always remains good. So that was a biased question. Do you say Hoyo V'Hutro Hutro with regards to Pasibi Rois? And Amalezer, Rabbi told him, Klum Nasas Mechitza Ela Bishvil Mayim, Mayim Ein Kan Mechitza Ein Kan. It doesn't work. But Ravin asked a similar question. Yavshu Mayim B'Shabbos. What happens if the water dried out on Shabbos? Ubo B'Shabbos. And then on Shabbos, somehow the water refilled. Had it refilled, started raining on Shabbos. So the water refilled. So it dried and then it refilled. So Abayi told him like this. You have Shabbos like I see you didn't ask anything about what happens if it dried out on Shabbos. The boy made the Maru partially Dawson. It's good you didn't ask that question, because I asked that question to Mar, Rebbe, Rabbah. I asked him this question and he said it's also. But as it relates to your question, what happens if it dried out on Shabbos and then it refilled? You shouldn't ask that question either. Because this is also a problem. This is also a mefurish sif katan and hilchas erevin. A mechitza that was made on Shabbos. What's the law? Tanya. Kol mechitza suya b'Shabbos. Bein b'shoyge bein b'mezit. Bein b'oynis. Bein b'rotzen. Shma mechitza. The law is it's always considered mechitza. So at the end of the day, once the water filled up, now the pasi birois become a mechitza. It's geschmack the lumbus. Whether there's water or not determines whether the pasan are mechitzas, right? The water somehow is making the mechitzas, because in lumbus that's what's happening. But the point is that there's a halacha that a mechitza that happens by itself on Shabbos is okay. And it doesn't matter if it was b'shoyge, you're b'mezid, or b'oynis, or b'rotzin, it's ma mechitza. So he told him, it's pasha to me. Abaya told Ravin that it's given. So Gemara says, I don't think it's so pasha what Abaya is saying, because I'm Rab Nachman, it's a loyach, this halacha that a mechitza atzoy b'shabbos is called a mechitza, that's only l'chumra, right? Lizraik is always l'chumra, l'taltal is always l'kula. Chazal's way of saying it's a mechitza l'chumra is lizrei. Chazal's way of saying it's a mechitza l'kula is l'talta, right? Why? Lizrei means you're not allowed to throw from a rishus harabim into it. L'chumra, it has a din of a rishus hayachid. L'talta would mean it's a rishus hayachid l'kula, you're even allowed to carry there. Yoyis midal anabas. But Rav Nachman said that a mechitza nasame Asuya b'Shabbos is called a mechitza. That's only if lachumra, it's lizroy. But latalto no. So maybe Ravin has a good question. What happens if it filled up by itself? Is it considered a mechitza, even lekula? But the Gemara says ki itma de Rav Nachman. It's true Rav Nachman said it, but he said it amazed it. Man, he was referring to the mezid piece. That if somebody made a mechitza on Shabbos, he b'mezid made a mechitza, then it's shma mechitza lachumra. It's lo shma mechitza lekula. But if somebody didn't b'mezid make a mechitza, it happened b'shoygig. It happened b'oy. So over there, it would be considered a mechitza, bein lechumra, bein lekula, and that's what Abaya told Ravin. I don't think your shaila is a shaila. Zok de Gemara, Amar Rabbi Lazar, hazoyrek lebein pase habirois. And in theory, we could have started the sugya pase birois with this Gemara. If somebody throws something from a rishus harabim to the area pase birois, chayev, he's chayev. If he doesn't be mazed with Eidim and Hasra, he's chayv skila. If he doesn't be mazed without Eidim or without Hasra, he's chayv kars. If he doesn't be shoygig, he's chayv chata. So the Gemara says, Peshitta. Of course. He loved mechitza, he hechim mishter leila malas. Where did the Pasa Birois, where were they put? Either in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin or Carmelis. But the Pasa Birois went in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. So if they went in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, obviously they're mechitza. Because if they're not a real mechitza, then how could you carry in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin? So if it's a real mechitza, it's a real Rosh Hashanah Yoch. If you throw something from Rosh Hashanah Rabbin into it, Avadi should be chayv. The Marsal, like, Tzricha, the Ovid came past the Birois, Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, Besorach Latoicha. The Rebbe Lazar wasn't talking about past the Birois. He was talking about when somebody set up these four double posts. He followed all the criteria of Pasibi Rois, but there was no well. There was no Mitzias of Pasibi Rois. And said Rabbi Laza, even in that case, if you throw something there, you're going to be chayav. But the Gemara says, Hanami Pshito, he loved the Ba'alma Mechitza. If ordinarily it's not considered a Mechitza, Gabi Bar Hechem Ishrael Batalkli, then it shouldn't work by a bar either. What, the Chachamim were able to make a special kula for Pasibi Rois? I don't know, I thought up until this point, that's the understanding of Pasibi Rois, right? Isn't that the feeling of the Gemara? So we're going to have to get to all this. But the Gemara says, Loi Tzricha, I forgot the Kabbalah. Rav Lazar was saying a chiddush, a very important chiddush, a chiddush that the Gemara is going to discuss in much greater detail on Daf Chav Beis, a chiddush that's one of the most important Gemaras in understanding Eruvin and some of the controversial Eruvin that are, you know, in contemporary times and in recent history. But the point is, what Rabbi Elazar said was, I'm going to tell you the Chiddush. The Chiddush is we had Pasi B'Rois, but the Rabbim went through the Pasi B'Rois. So you would have thought that maybe, even though Pasi B'Rois is a real Mechitza, but maybe over here it's going to be different. That's, the Chiddush is that it's going to be okay. But Freit the Gemara, my Kamashpulan, what's the Chiddush? The Layasu Rabbim U'mevatim Mechitza? The Chiddush is that the Rabbim doesn't have the ability to be Mevatim Mechitza. Some Rabbi Elazar called this, and Rabbi Elazar said this already. Meaning, you tell me the Chiddush is that even though the Rabbim goes through, still it's a Mechitza. Why is that a Chiddush? You would have thought that maybe the Rabbim is Mevatel the Mechitza. But the Gemara says we know this already. The Shita is that if the Rishus Rabbim goes through the Pasi B'Rois, you have to divert traffic. Because if the Rishus Rabbim goes through the Pasi B'Rois, then the Pasi B'Rois is not a real Mechitza. The Chachamim Oimrim Eino Tzarech. Chachamim say it's not a problem. Rabbi Yoichan and Rabbi Lozan Amitravai. And Rabbi Yoichanon, and his Talmud Rabbi Lozan, both said, Kan Hoy Diyach HaKoichan Shal Mechitzas. Again, this is such an important Gemara. We'll get to this Metz Hashem on Daf Chav Beis. But you see from here the Koyach of Mechitzas, that a Mechitza is so powerful that even if the Rabbim goes through the Mechitza, it's still considered Mechitza. Rabbi Lozan said this already. This is Rabbi Lozan's old Chiddush. We know that Pasi B'Rois works. That's obvious. If Pasi B'Rois works for a Be'er, it must mean it can create a Rishos even if it's not a Be'er. We know that. We also know that Rabbi Elazar's Shita is that if the Rabbim goes through the Pasi B'Rois, it's fine. So what exactly was Rabbi Elazar's Chiddush when Rabbi Elazar came into Beis Medrash and he said, Hazoyrik, if someone throws something, Lebein Pasi B'Rois Chayiv, the question is one word. Pshita, even though that pshita is so loaded, because it's totally in so much lumdis and so many important sugyas, but at the end of the day, it boils down to a one-word question. Pshita. It's so obvious. Once you know Erevin, Freit the Gemara is pshita. So the Gemara says, I hear, but imei hasam. No, it's not so pashit. Meaning, the chiddush of Rabbi Elazar is that the mechitzas of Pasi B'Rois are called mechitzas, even if the rabbin goes through. What's the question? Why is it pshita? Because Rabbi Elazar said it already. He already said, when the Chachamim said that if the Rabbim go through, what was his comment? Kan hoy diyach koichan shal mechitzos. So it sounds like he holds that it's a mechitza, even though the Rabbim goes through it. Mara says, no, it's not mechitza. Imei asam, hav amin, I would have thought, kan, v'lo svirale. He was commenting that you see from the Chachamim, the koichan mechitzos, but doesn't necessarily mean that he holds that way. Kamash malon, that's why Rabbi Elazar had a paskin. Kan v'sfirulei. He had a paskin d'alacha. Where did he paskin d'alacha? Somebody throws something from a rishus d'rabim to an area of pasei b'rois, yichayiv chatas. That means it's a rishus d'iraisa, even when the rabim goes through. So not only kan, you see the musag of what the koyach of mechitzos are. He actually holds that way halacha l'maisa. For eight tomorrow, one final question. V'lei maha v'lei boyach. So why couldn't Rabbi Elazar just say yichayiv chatas? And he wouldn't have had a commented. He would not have had a remark and said, "Kan hoydiach l'koychon shal mechitzos." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, that's all he did." Chad mechal chaver to itmar. No one says Rabbi Elazar said both. Rabbi Elazar paskin the halacha, and from there it was implied kan hoydiach and koychon shal mechitzos. But Anachinami, Rabbi Elazar didn't necessarily say the halacha twice. So just to recap what we just did before we shift gears a little bit, and that is we had six ibayas going back to the end of Daf Yutes that Abaya asked Rava. One Ibaya that Ravin asked Abaya, and one statement that Rabbi Elazar made. So seven questions and one comment, if you want to summarize it. What were the six Ibayas that Abaya asked Rabbi? The first one was, if someone was Mayrich B'diyoimden, according to Rameh, you have more than 10 Amis between the two Pasim, you're supposed to add Pshutin. What if instead of adding Pshutin, he just made the Yundim a little bit wider? Second question was, what about according to Rabbi Yehuda? Well, you have to have 13 and a third. Instead of adding a Pashut, you would just Mayrich the Diyoimden a little bit. Is that going to be okay, or is it not going to be okay? A Tel Amislaket. What if you have a mound of dirt that's not shaped like the Yomdim? Can you use it for the Yomdim? Do you say Royan? You can imagine as if they're L-shaped Pasin, or can you not do that? What was the fourth question? We had two versions of it. The first version, Chitas Akonim, Pachas Pachas Mishloisha, where you have a bunch of individual reeds, they're not touching each other, they're not hugging each other, but there's less than three Tfachim in between. You have a Lovin. The second version was, Kudrisa Dekani. What if they're attached on the bottom? Is it going to be okay there, or is it not going to be okay? The fifth question was, again, two parts, not two versions, but two parts to the fifth question. A chatzah that opens up to Pasi B'Rois. Are you allowed to carry from the chatzah to Pasi B'Rois or not? Is it included in the takon of carrying Mishos HaYachad or Mishos HaYachad or not? What was the follow-up question? What if two chatzahs open up into it? What would be the halacha there? Then we had a machlekes. What if there was an Erev, Rafuna, Rava? a raya to Rava, but not a tiyufta de Ravuna. What was the sixth question? What happens if you had pasi birois in the beginning of Shabbos, and on Shabbos, the well dried? Do you say Shabbos hoyl v'hutra hutra, like you say in other areas of Erevin, or do you not say Shabbos hoyl v'hutra hutra? Those were Abaya's six questions that he asked Rava. Ravin asked one question to Abaya. What would be if you had a well that the beginning of Shabbos was full, it dried up on Shabbos? We know that that's not okay, because Rabbi told Abaya, you don't say hoyo v'hutra hutra, and then it got refilled on Shabbos. Would it be okay then? It was a mechitza that happened on Shabbos, and it wasn't b'mezid. What would be the halacha there? And finally, Rabbi Lazar's comment, Rabbi Lazar's very important comment that goes to the gut of the sugya's and understanding of Pasi B'Rois, and that is if somebody would throw something from a Rishos HaRabin to Pasi B'Rois, the halacha is he would be Chayiv Chatas. And as much as to us, it seems like an eye-opening comment, the Gemara's reaction was, Pshita, obvious. What's the Shiloh? Of course, that has to be the halacha. Ultimately, the Gemara said the Chiddush of Rabbi Lazar was that even though the Rabbim is going through, so you would have thought that Asi Rabbim Umevatel Mechitzta, Kamash Malan Kan Hoydiyachel Koychan Shal Mechitzes, not only Kan Valelo Svirle, but Kan, and Rabbi Lazar actually holds that way, either way, on that note. So we continue with the theme of Pasi B'Rois, albeit a slightly different halach. And that is, the Mishnah said that if somebody wants to take the pasim and bring them very, very close to the well, how close are you allowed to bring it? How far? It's that we saw on Daf Yutes. There's the Mishnah on the top of Daf Yutes and Aleph. So that's machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Is it limited by the idea of Beis HaSayim, that certain Rishuyas are limited to in Hilchas Erevin, or is it not limited? But in terms of how close, so that the Mishnah said, that as far as how close you want it to be, you just have to make sure that it's close enough, shete para roisha veruba b'fnim v'shoisa. As long as the para could be roisha veruba b'fnim and drink, that in and of itself is going to be okay. Meaning, that's how close you're allowed to bring the pasin to the well. Zok to Gemara Tan Hosam, we don't tell the Mishnah, le'yamid odem reshus harabim. A person's not allowed to stand in a reshus harabim, v'yishte b'reshus hayachin, and drink inside a Rishus HaYachid. The same is true in the reverse. Rishus HaYachid, you're not allowed to stand in a Rishus HaYachid, v'yish the Rishus HaRabim, and drink in a Rishus HaRabim. Elon K. Machnas, Rosh HaRubah, the Malkam Shulish HaYachid. Because if you want to stand in a Rishus HaRabim and drink in a Rishus HaYachid, if you're going to be in one Rishus, and you're drinking in the other Rishus, it's not okay. Why? Even though you're allowed to stand in a Rishus HaRabim and carry something in a Rishus HaYachid. You could stand in a Rishus HaYachid and carry something in a Rishus HaRabim. But when you're drinking, there's a concern you may bring the drink to where you are. So if you're Roshe Verubay in that area, it's fine, right? Similar to the Halach in Sukkah. If you're Roshe Verubay inside a Sukkah, even if party is outside the Sukkah, it's fine. But where your Roshe Verubay is, that's where you're considered to be. So if you're Roshe Verubay in a house, then it's fine. But if you're not Roshe Verubay, your feet are in one area, and you're just bending over into the other area, that's going to be a problem. V'chein Begas. And the same Halacha as it relates to Gas. So Rashi says, what does it mean, V'chein Begas? So this is a technical halach in Hilchas Maestros, where the halach is that you're not allowed to drink, eat from food that you were in Ma'aser, even in Achilas Aroy, until you're Ma'aseret. And that's true even if it wasn't Nigmar Malachtoi of this thing that you're eating. Stating that, being that until the produce is Nigmar Malachtoi, until it's a finished product, so the Chachamim made a special kula, and they said that at certain times you're allowed to eat an Achilas Aroy. One of those cases is if you work in a wine press and you're in the gas, it's going to be fine. The question is, what defines being in the gas? Do I have to physically be in there? So Roshe Verubay, that's what it depends on. Either way, says the Gemara. Gabi Adam Ha'amadabai Roshe Verubay. So you see this concept of Roshe Verubay when it comes to an Adam. Gabi Paro. What about regarding a Paro? Me be Inan. Do you have the same halacha regarding a para? What does that mean? Rashi. Last wide line. If somebody is feeding, he's watering, meaning he's giving his behema to drink in a Rishus HaYachid, but the animal's in a Rishus HaRabim. So if you were standing in a Rishus HaRabim, you wanted a drink in a Rishus HaYachid, we know the halacha. Unless you're Roshe Verubay in the Rishus HaYachid, Tanan Hasam, it's a Mishnah, Mesach, the Shabbos, it's going to be an issue. What about by the behema? Is the same halacha by the behema, or is by the behema a little bit different? What's the question? Kol Heicha de Nakit Mana V'lo Nakatla. In the event that you're holding the trough, you're holding the basket the container from which the animal is eating or drinking. But you're not holding the animal. There's no shaila. The boy roish of ruba milagap. Of course, you would need roish of ruba. And the reason is because there's a concern that the animal is going to start going towards the rishus harabim. An animal has a mind of its own. You're holding the trough. You're going to go run after it and you're going to go feed it. So it's pretty obvious. If there's a loch of roish of ruba by a person, it should probably be true by an animal. What's the question? What if you're holding the animal? What if you're grabbing onto the animal? You have to be physically holding the whole animal, like going hagba. But what if you're grabbing it? So with that, what's that loch over there? Meaning, do you say that being that I'm holding onto the animal, there's no concern that the animal's going to go crazy? As a result, even if it's not Rosh Viruba, it's going to be okay. Or no, maybe even if I'm holding the animal, you have to say maloch. Amalei. So the Gemara says that he told him back, Tinisua, I'll bring you a raya from our Mishnah. We said that loch is that if you want Pasi B'Royce, so you have to make sure that there's enough room within the pasen for the animal to be roisha veruba bevifne. My love, the knockout law, the knockout mon. And the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara's kasha is very gishmak. Meaning, why do you need the animal to be roisha veruba mebifne? The assumption is because otherwise you wouldn't be able to feed the animal. If you're telling me that if I'm holding the animal, then I can feed it even if it's not roisha veruba bebifnim. So then the halacha should be, that it shouldn't have to be so close or that far where you can feed, where you can fit roisha veruba of the animal, meaning it should be able to be even a little bit closer. Because it'd still be a hechetimsa for me to feed the animal. How so? I could hold it and it won't have to be roisha veruba. So what do you see from here? That even where I'm holding the animal, it has to be Rosh HaVeruba, Gishmak Araya. You see from the Mishnah that you always need room for Rosh HaVeruba. Even if I'm holding the animal, I need room for Rosh HaVeruba. Because otherwise, then make the Pasim a little bit close. But the Gemara says, Loi, the Nakat Manav, Loi, Nakat Law. And again, the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara's Teretz, Ayin Beritva, is that usually people don't feed animals when they're holding them. That just seems like unnecessary Tercha. So usually what you do is you just put the food there. So mean that in most cases, or at the very least, you're holding the Mana. So mean that in most cases, you're not holding the animal. So therefore, the Chachamim said that in that case, you for sure need Roish Shavu, but that was never even the Ibaya. So it's for that reason, it makes sense that that's the way you should do it, says the Gemara. So you're telling me now that the methodology of how we came up, the Mishnah did, that you need enough space in the area of Pasi B'Royce for the animal to be Roish Shavu. Why do you need enough space for it to be Roisha Veruba? Because the way you're going to feed the animal is you're going to be holding on to the trough. And being that you're holding on to the trough, there's a concern that the animal may turn around and you're going to just naturally go outside. You're going to follow it and you're going to end up carrying. So that's why, if it's Roisha Veruba, then there's no concern. Just like you yourself can drink standing in Rosh Hashanah Yachad, if you're Roisha Veruba and the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The same is true with regards to the animal. But it sounds like, for sure, that it's okay to feed your animal in the Pasi B'Royce, when you're holding the mana. That's the concern. You're holding the mana, you may go follow it up. Faith the Gemara, is that even true? V'chi nakat mana, v'loi nakat la mishari, is that fine? V'tanya, we learned it a b'raisa. La yamali yada mayim v'itim v'shabas afnei behemtoi. It's not okay for a person to take water and put it in front of his avu. M'maluhu v'shoifich 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 v'shoifich. Meaning you're not allowed to hold on to the mana and feed the animal. The b'raisa says, what you need to do is, you have to fill up the trough, and let it drink by itself. So this whole scenario that you're worried about is not even a real scenario, because it's not something you're allowed to do. It's a braisa. Lo yumali yada mayim v'itim b'shabes lefnei behemtoi. Rashi, v'yecho is hakli b'yadei ba'oche yishoi. So it's not something you're allowed to do. Avo memalehu v'shoifech v'yishoi semeleh. So this seems to have no shaychis to our discussion anyways. Because what you're doing by the pasiv yiroi is you're just letting the animal drink by itself. You're removing yourself from it. You're not allowed to be involved in the shtia. That's not even something you're allowed to do. So why are we even having this conversation? So the Gemara says, ha'itmer Allah, Amr Abaya said that braisa, even though Chazal thought was referring to your classic case of Pasi B'Royce, now Abaya made a whole Ekimta, which is gonna, at the end of the day, mean that it has nothing to do with what we're discussing. That halacha was talking about an Avos. That's a trough. It was a very big trough. It was in a Rishus HaRabim. How big was it? It was 10 tefachim tall, and it was 4 tefachim wide. Again, if you have a picture, it's worth 1,000 words. One side of the Avos was sticking into Bein HaPasin. So again, one side of it is inside a Rishus HaYachid. It goes into a Rishus HaRabim. However, part of the Avos is also within the area of Pasi B'Royce. Right, so you got it? So the animals in a Rishus HaYachid, this is big Evos, right? Don't think of a little tribe, it's a big shtickle. It goes right into the Rishus HaRabim, and part of the length of the Evos overlaps with Pasei Birois. That's what's going on. And now you want to go and you want to take from the well that's within the area of Pasei Birois, water, and put it into the Evos. So that's something you're allowed to do. Because the Pasei Birois is Hukuf Mechitzos. It has a din of a Rishos HaYachid. The Evos is a Rishos HaYachid, even though it's in a Rishos HaRabim, but it's 10 Tvachim tall and it's 4 by 4 Tvachim. So it has the dimensions of a Rishos HaYachid. The animal's going to eat it. So that in and of itself shouldn't be an issue. Abaya was a little worried about this halacha. This is where Abaya said the Braisa had to get involved. Said the Braisa, you have to be very careful when you do this. Meaning, there's two ways in theory. This is important because the Gemara is going to say this once and then the Gemara is going to say it's in Tzveitin Mal. It's going to take us almost to the bottom of the yom. So it's kedai to get the tzir well. So there's two ways technically you can take water now from the well, put it into the Avos to feed your animal. One way would be simple. Just take water, put it into the Avos, the part of the Avos that's within the area of Pasei Birois, and you have nothing to worry about. But there'd be another way you could do it. What you can do is you could actually walk the water through the Rishos HaRabim and bring it a little bit closer to the animal. How could you do that? How could I take it from the Rishos HaYachid to the Rishos HaRabim? You know what the answer is? You're going to hold the pail with water on top of the Avos. The ear space of the Rishos HaYachid, right? Rishos HaYachid is Oyla Ado Rakiya. So the ear space of the Rishos HaYachid is going to have a din of a Rishos HaYachid. So essentially, I'm standing in a Rishos HaRabim and I'm carrying something in a Rishos HaYachid. No worries. That's actually something I'm allowed to do. So I can do it two ways. I could do it the old-fashioned way. Just take the water, pour it into the Avos, and the water will eventually make its way to the animal. Or I can walk it through the Rishos HaRabim and bring it a little bit closer to the animal. Either way, technically, halachically, should be okay. This is the mitzius that the Braisa was addressing. It wasn't addressing your classic textbook example of Pasei Birois. It was talking about this particular halach. Let's go back to the Braisa. So what the Braisa was saying was, lo yimalei adam mayim v'yitim b'shabes lifnei behemtoy. You can't walk the water from the well through the mechitzas of the Pasei Birois, through the Rishos HaRabim, holding it on top of the airspace of the Avos and bring it in front of your animal. That's not okay. Avo memalehu. What you can do is, you can put it inside the Avos, the shoyfech, it's going to make its way down the Avos towards the animal, and eventually the animal's going to get the water that it has to get. Why? What's the pshat in this halacha? Because we're afraid. Very simple. You're going to be walking along the length of the Avos, and you're going to see, you know something? There's something wrong with my Avos. I actually can't feed my animal right now. You're going to realize that you have to fix it. The problem is you're holding a pail of water. So what are you going to do with the pail of water? You're going to put it down. By the way, this is one of the rare instances where you have a gzera mishum aitzah, and it's not shemi yavirenu dal ramis mishus harabim. It's gzera that you're going to be mapik mishus hayachel mishus harabim. You don't see this every day. Who cares? Let's say the person ends up doing that. I don't think it's a problem. This is Haitzah 101. If somebody is moving his chafetzim from one corner to another corner, he's in his living room. Then he decides, you know something, after he picked something up, let me take it outside. Potter. He's not chayef for Shabbos. Why? What do you mean? He did an akir in a Rishos HaYachid and anach Rishos HaRabim. So he hoist akir mishor rishayin l'kach. Because he never intended when you did the akira for there to be a hanach in a Rishos HaRabim. In this case over here, you were going to carry it on top of the airspace of the Rishos HaYachid and feed your animal. As you were outside, you said, oops, I realize I have a little bit of an issue here. And then you put it down. So at the end of the day, what happens if our worst nightmare plays itself out? This person actually did what Chachamim were afraid he might do. He was like, Nisa de Rabbanon. Okay, Nisa de Rabbanon is very chamer. Yeah, of course it's chamer. But we don't make gzeiras for Nisa de Rabbanon. We don't make a gzeira the gzeira. So the Gemara says, why are you worried about this? So the Gemara says, you're right. Let's tweak the story a little bit. Just make the narrative a drop different. Very simple. We're afraid that you're going to be outside. You're going to put the thing down to fix the Avos, and then you're going to fix it, and then you're going to pick it up. It's not that you took it from Yishus HaYachid Lishus HaRabim. It's actually the reverse. It was Mishus HaRabim Lishus HaYachid, but it's the same difference. So what's the bottom line? The point that the Gemara is making is that we are discussing how you're allowed to feed your animal in the Pasi Birois. And the reason it matters is because it actually boils down to a very technical piece, which is very, very critical. How close or how much space does there have to be between the well and the actual pasan? It comes down to Rosh HaVirubai. And the way we get the formula for understanding why it has to be Rosh HaVirubai is based on an understanding that presumably I'm going to be holding the trough as I'm feeding the animal. And the Gemara thought that shouldn't even be okay, because we have a braisa, you can't hold it. You have to put it down and let the animal drink by itself. So the Gemara said, that braisa is referring to a whole different halacha. Which halacha? With the animals in the Rishos HaYachid, you have this big monster trough that goes into the Rishos HaRavim. Part of the trough is surrounded by Pasi Birois. You're allowed to take water from the well, put it into the trough, let the water make itself down. But the braisa says you're not allowed to walk it, even though walking it should be fine. The fact that I'm in Rishus Rabbah, I'm carrying Rishus HaYachid, that doesn't bother me. I could be in the airspace of Rishus HaYachid, it should be a problem. It's a gzera, I might put it down, pick it back up. And this is all related to another gzera, not Shema Yavirenu, Dal Ramas, Rishus HaRabim, but gzera Shema Yoytzienu, Mirishus Lirishus, Zokti Gemara, that as it relates to this exchange that we just had, there was another nusach, another version of this same exact exchange. Ikadamri, some had the Shaila Kabi Adam. Again, going back to the original Ibaya. What was the original Ibaya? The Ibaya that the Gemara started with. A person is not allowed to stand in Rishus HaYachin and drink in Rishus HaRabim. A person is not allowed to stand in Rishus HaRabim and drink in Rishus HaYachin. The Gemara wanted to know, what about a behema? So the Gemara said like this. If you're holding on to the mana, the keli, and you're feeding the animal, for sure you would need Rosh HaVirubai. Otherwise, it wouldn't be okay. The question was, I'm sorry. Kol hecho dekonokit mana. Right, you would need Roish of Rubai. The question was, what if you're holding the mana and you're also holding the animal? What would be the halach over there? Maybe if you're holding the animal, it's going to be different. We thought we had a riot from our Mishnah, and then we realized that maybe not. Zok de Gemara, ikada amri, another version of what the original question was. Gabi Adam hakamri in the cycle of Roish of Rubai. By a person, the halach is it has to be Roish of Rubai, but that you also see the Roish of Rubai is enough. Gabi paro, mi cycle of Roish of Rubai, law, is it okay if the paro is Roish of Rubai or not? What's the question? Hey, chadanokim mana v'nokat lo. If you're holding the mana and you're holding it like tibay l'cha, that's pasha the sagal of a roisha verupa. That's for sure over there. Roisha verupa is going to be okay. Aliki tibay l'cha is a different shaila than it was in the first lishna. The shaila is the nokat mana the loy nokat lo. Where you're holding on to the mana, but you weren't holding on to the animal itself. My. Meaning, is Roisha Viruba going to be enough? Or is Roisha Viruba not going to be enough? So just to clarify, in the first version of the Gemara's question is, if you have an animal that's in a Rishus HaRabim, you're standing in a Rishus HaYachid, the animal's head is inside the Rishus HaYachid, you're watering the animal, you're feeding the animal, the question is, do you need the animal to be Roisha Viruba inside, or do you not need it to be Roisha Viruba inside? And the Gemara said, that's Poshit, if you're not holding the animal, you would need it to be Roisha Viruba inside. The question is, well, you are holding the animal, do you need it to be Roisha Viruba inside then? Or maybe, being that you're holding the animal, there's no concern. So a person who's standing in a Rishus HaRabim, Rabbiman is poking into Rishus HaYachid. If he's not Roish of Ruben into Rishus HaYachid, there's a gzera. If you have an animal that's in Rishus HaRabbim, it's poking into Rishus HaYachid. If you're not holding on to the animal, there's a gzera. What if it's an animal, it's poking into Rishus HaYachid, and you're holding on to the animal? What would be the halacha over there? In the second version of the Gemara, it was poshet, that even if you're holding on to the animal, the halacha is you would need it to be Roish of Ruben inside. What was the shaila? The shaila was something else. The shaila was, maybe where you're not holding on to the animal, over there, Roish HaVirubai shouldn't be enough. Maybe there you should need the entire animal to be there. Meaning, maybe an animal is actually more chomer than a person as it relates to a situation where you're not holding on to the animal. So in the first version, the shaila was regarding, do you need Roish HaVirubai where you're holding on to the animal? In the second version, the shaila is, if you're not holding on to the animal, is it maspik? Is it enough where it's Roisha Virubai? Or maybe over there you would need the entire animal to be in. So there's two differences between the two shailas. Number one, in the first version, we're discussing a shaila regarding where you're holding on to the animal. In the second version, you're dafka not holding on to the animal. In the first version, the question is, do you need roisha v'rubai? In the second version, the question is, do you need kulai? Either way, that is the second lishon of the Gemara, and the Gemara is going to go through a very similar formulation to what it did in the first lishna. Same raya from the Mishnah, same raya from Abai, from the Braisa. Abai is going to come and say the same thing. It's going to literally be a chazar of everything that we just said, albeit coming from a different angle, as the question is a little bit different. So the Gemara says to Nisua, bring your that the Mishnah said you need that the parish be roish b'vifnim, and it should be able to might love the knock amana v'le knock aloh. Presumably, we're talking about when you were holding on to the mana and you weren't holding on to it. Why are you assuming that? Because if you remember from the previous Gemara, we said that usually that was the mitzvahs. So if usually that was the mitzvahs, and you see from there that roish v'rub is enough. Again, the question is roish in the second Mishnah? It's a little confusing. In the second Mishnah, is roish v'rub enough where you're only holding on to the mana? If you're only holding on to the mana, is roisha v'ruba enough? That was the question. So l'chor you have arrived in the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah, we're assuming, is a case where you're holding on to the mana, and you see from the Mishnah that you need roisha v'ruba. So the Gemara says, like, the knock on mana, the knock on, maybe the Mishnah is talking about where you were holding on to the animal itself. And that's why roisha v'ruba. But maybe if you weren't holding on to the animal, then maybe roisha v'ruba, in fact, wouldn't be enough. The Gemara says, v'hochinami mistabridi, knock on mana v'lay knock on la. Because if it's talking about where you're holding on to the money, you weren't holding on to me, shari, it shouldn't even be mutter, time limited, rice, mali, other mind, it's not okay to be only holding on to the mana. You have to put it down. So you see clearly to hold on to the mana is never mutter, right? So obviously that's not what the Mishnah is talking about. So the Mishnah must be talking about, right? The Mishnah's mitzias is only either where you put it down or where you're holding on to the animal and holding on to the mana. Because to just hold on to the mana and not hold on to the animal is not even an option. But the Gemara says you have no raya from there. It's an exact repeat of what we just said before. We spent a lot of time on it, so I don't think we have to go through it again. The point is, the Metzias is a whole different Metzias. It has nothing to do with our Mishnah. But the Gemara said, why would the Rabbanan have been worried over there that you may come to carry? Where what? Where you picked it up with the intention of not carrying, and then you accidentally put it down? So we know, and if you would even do that, you wouldn't be chayav for etzamid deraisa. All it is etzamid rabban. You're going to make a gzeira for etzamid rabban. Again, word for word, verbatim, what we said. Ellis, then the masakin lady concerned is something else. You're going to pick it up in the pasei birois, and with the intention to go bring it to your animal, you're going to put it down because you realize you have to fix it, and then you're going to pick it back up. Bottom line is, you can't prove anything from there. So what do we have over here? We had two ibayos. As it relates to feeding an animal on Shabbos. And it's really two lishaynos of one ibaya. In the first lishna, the ibaya was, what's the halacha with regards to if I want to feed my animal, I'm standing in a rishus hayachid, part of my animal's in a rishus harabim, part of it is in a rishus hayachid. Can I hold on to a mana and go ahead and feed my animal? When it comes to a person, there's a halacha that the only time I could be in one rishos and drink in another rishos is if I'm roisha v'rubai. But the question is, over here, as it relates to an animal, what would be the halacha? So in the first lishna, the Gemara assumed that kol hecha de kanakit mana v'loi nakat la loi tibayu lecha de bayi roisha v'rubai. If I'm holding on simply to the mana and I'm not holding on to the animal, it's pasha you would need roisha v'rubai. The question was, if I'm also holding on to the animal, maybe I shouldn't need roisha v'rubai. That was the Gemara Shaila. So the Shaila in the first version of the Gemara is, in short, if I'm holding on to the mana, I'm also holding on to the animal. The animal's not roisha v'rubai in the rishos hayachid. Can I feed the animal or not? Usually you need roisha v'rubai. Even for an animal, you need roisha v'rubai. But the question over here is, I'm holding on to the animal. So being that I'm holding on to the animal, so maybe over here it should be okay. In the second version of the Gemara, the question was something else. The question was, is roisha v'rubai even enough? So again, the Gemara there assumed you for sure need roisha v'rubai even when I'm holding on to the animal. The question is, when I'm not holding on to the animal, I'm only holding on to the mana, is roisha v'rubai even enough? Or maybe I would need the entire animal to be inside the mechitzas. So the Gemara now says, Toshma, going back to the original Shaila, to version 1 of the Gemara Shaila. What's version 1? Do I need Roisha Verubai where I'm holding on to the animal? Gomel Shah Roisha Verubai Mifnim. If I have a camel, Roisha Verubai, if the camel is inside the Rishus HaYachid, Oifsen Oisem Yibifnim. What does it mean to be Oifsen? We had the submission to end the Masechta Shabbos. You're allowed to force a lot of food inside the animal. So the halacha is, it's okay. Now the Gemara says, Baha Evos Keman Denokat Man of Anokat Adamyo. When you're force feeding an animal, you by definition have to be holding on to the animal. Because if you're not holding on to the animal, it's impossible to force feed it. And what does the Brisa say? So you see it has to be Roish Veruba. So you see that you need Roish Veruba even when you're holding on to the animal. It's in the first version of the Gemara, which is consistent with what the second version said. In the second version of the Gemara Shiloh, you for sure needed Roish Veruba. But in the first version of the Gemara Shiloh, we had a Shiloh whether you need Roish Veruba where you're holding on to the animal. The you have a mafurish rai that even you're holding on to the animal, still you need it. Amarav acha barafuna, amarav sheisha shani gomel. No, it could be a camel's different. However, tzavari arach, meaning that has a very long neck, the dynamics are a little bit different there. Even where it's roisha verubai, could be there's a, or if it wasn't roisha verubai, there would be a concern. Meaning, even if you're holding on to the animal, there's a concern, and that's why you need roisha verubai. Tashma, bring your rai from a different price. What if you have a behemoth? It doesn't say anything about a camel, any behemoth. It's roisha verubifnim. Same halacha. For Avos, command the Nakat Mana of the Nakatla. Where it's Avos, meaning by definition, you have to be holding on to the food and you have to be holding on to the animal. Otherwise, there's no way to force feed an animal. And it says, the Kabina Roisha Verubai. And over here, it says Behemoth, it doesn't say Gomel. So, Chura, you see, even an ordinary animal, you have this halach. The Gemara says, my behemoth, not my diktani, gomel. Behemoth really means gomel. Afraid of a tanya behemoth, a tanya gomel. I have two brises. One brise said behemoth, the other brise says gomel. Obviously, the one that says behemoth is not a gomel, so otherwise it would have said gomel. So the Gemara says, what it often does when it asks questions like this, midi gabi adadi tanya, if the two brises were right next to each other, you'd have a good point. But the two brises are not right next to each other. So if the two brises are not right next to each other, maybe the one that said behemoth meant gomel. Meaning, if it would say behemoth and gomel in the same sentence, yeah, obviously, behemoth doesn't mean gomel. But maybe that brisa said behemoth really would have meant gomel. Tanya nami hachi, to one point, to the fact that there's a difference between a gomel and another behemoth, Rebbe Eliezer oisa begomel. Rebbe Eliezer said that a gomel's aser, hayo betzavari aruch. So what do you see from here? You see from here that there's a difference between a gomel and a regular animal when it comes to these halachas, simply because of the fact that it has a long